Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Do you need hope? If you do, where do you find it? What does hope look like? What does hope feel like? Where do people search for hope? You just heard someone imitate Isaiah. We had reading from the first Advent, which was focused on hope. I just read the scripture that is a part of what we're going to be discussing today. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah came to proclaim hope that would come through a Christ child. Today, we seek to understand and embrace that hope, to celebrate that hope, this, the first Sunday of Advent. Lord, as we do come, at this time, we come before you. We come worshiping you. We come celebrating who you are. But Lord, in the midst of that worship, we also have needs. And one of those needs, Lord, is to be able to have hope in the midst of the world we live in the midst of the situations that we face. And Lord, you have promised that hope. You have given that hope. Help us to truly understand how to access that in its fullness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The first words of Isaiah chapter 9 refer back to the previous chapter where there was distress, darkness, and fearful gloom. But as we've heard in our Advent reading, out of this gloom comes promises of hope. We see three specific promises in Isaiah chapter 9. These promises are fulfilled through the birth of the Messiah, the son of a virgin. Christ will rule this new kingdom of hope. The government will be on his shoulders. His rule will be peaceful and ruled by love. And as his government increases, so shall the peace increase. Now we will not arrive to this perfect kingdom this side of heaven. But we do have a beautiful glimpse of what it will be like as we give our lives over to Christ to rule. We experience this promise of hope. The gloom and despair give way to joy and peace. We see, experience, and give love in a new and profound way through the miracle of the birth, the life, and the death of the Messiah, the Christ child, our Savior. So I want to look really quickly at those three specific things promised. And the first one comes from verse 2 of chapter 9 of Isaiah. And this is light. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Light dispels darkness. The two cannot exist together. Even here, Isaiah is talking about an opportunity for those in the midst of his time to experience a light. But that light is just the beginning, just an anticipation of the light that is to come. I ask you, have you ever experienced dark times in your life? Perhaps you're there now. With darkness tends to come fear. lurking in the darkness are traps and snares, often right beside or in front of you, and you can't even see them. The evil one lives in the darkness. And I'm not talking about the darkness we experience when we simply turn lights off in a room. Some of us are afraid of the dark, but we don't need to be in that context because God is with us. I'm talking about the darkness of our soul. But I can promise you that just as quickly as flipping a light switch can bring everything in a dark room into clear view, so can the light of Christ in a dark soul. With this light comes a renewed hope. The second promise is that of joy. If you look at verse 3, this is what we read. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing plunder. So I ask you, what is joy? Some people live their entire life and never experience joy. Did you realize that? Some people live their entire life and never experience joy. They may experience happiness and excitement, but neither of these is the same as joy. Again, joy is something in the soul. It's not based on what's happening around you. It's based on your relationship first with Christ, who has overcome all circumstances, including death. Secondly, the God who is more powerful than any challenge or struggle that you will ever face. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit who is always with you. This is a reason for unrelenting hope. So we've had light. We can have joy. The third one is in verse 4. It's freedom. This is what verse 4 reads. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdened them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. God is all about providing freedom. Even in Isaiah's time, but even more so now. We call this the land of the free. But I can tell you, very few people in the United States are experiencing real freedom right now. Our government may not be ruled by a dictator, but so many lives are being ruled by things that keep them in much worse bondage. Just a few examples of this are drugs, money and materialism, a fear of failure, past mistakes, toxic relationships, and a warped view of success. These and other things have control of our lives. If we truly give our lives to Christ and make Him Lord of our life, this becomes an invitation to God to come and break the chains of the things that have us enslaved. But that's a choice. God will never force His will on us. Again, this gives us hope beyond what anything or anyone in this world can offer. So I want to restate the introduction. Don't know if maybe you've memorized it and you could repeat it to me, but I doubt it. I want you to hear the first words I said, but now thinking of them in terms of the light, in terms of the joy, in terms of the freedom that's being talked about by Isaiah. This is it. These promises are to be fulfilled through the birth of the Messiah, the son of a virgin. Christ will rule this new kingdom of hope. The government will be on His shoulders. His rule will be peaceable, ruled by love. As His government increases, so shall the peace increase. We will not arrive to this perfect kingdom this side of heaven. But we have a beautiful glimpse of what it will be like in that as we give our lives over to Christ to rule, we experience this promised hope. The gloom and despair give way to joy and peace. We see experience, and give love in a new and profound way through the miracle of the birth, the life, and the death of the Christ child, our Savior. So you see, as we enter into Advent, there is hope. And yes, we're going to be talking about joy, and we're going to be talking about peace, and we're going to be talking about love in detail in the times to come. But I tell you, you cannot celebrate hope without acknowledging that those others are a part of it, because we need all of that. God created us in such a way that to be the people of God who God called us to be, we must know hope, love, joy, and peace. The scripture we're focusing on today in Isaiah was written approximately 700 years prior to Jesus' birth. People were waiting for a long time for this Messiah that would change everything. In today's world, we can't really grasp the concept of waiting. We have fast food, we have microwaves, and we have pay it at the pump, and many other so-called conveniences to keep us from having to wait. But I fear we may be losing something by shortcutting our waiting time. Between the time Isaiah made this prophecy and the time Jesus was born, God was preparing the way for the Messiah. God was not simply picking the right time. God was working and preparing the hearts of individuals, families, nations to receive the gift that would change all of humanity. Most of us hate waiting today, and I don't think I'm exaggerating. I'm just curious. Don't raise your hand. Don't have to nod your head, but I'm just wondering how many of us have said these words, "I'm tired of waiting." Just watch how many people you see between now and Christmas jockeying for the shortest lines in Walmart, or getting upset when they don't think their line is moving fast enough. Advent may be a lesson in waiting for us this year. Remember those three promises we just talked about? Because Jesus has been born, we already have the benefit of these promises of light and joy and freedom. But at times we don't think so because we don't experience the immediate fulfillment of popping a frozen dinner into the microwave and punching 3 minutes. God provides light in the darkness. But there is a process to recognizing the value of what is illuminated by the light. Let me elaborate on that a minute. When we accept Christ, their light does come into our lives. And so we see things differently, but just because we see them differently and that light is there doesn't mean we immediately understand it all. There is a process, there is a growing, there is a building of that relationship. And yet there are times that we get frustrated because although that light's there, we get frustrated because it doesn't happen instantly. Everything doesn't change. It doesn't become the way we think it should be. There is a sense in which waiting is valuable. So God provides light, but God also provides joy. But just as with light, it takes time to realize the depth of that joy in the midst of a fallen world. Once Christ comes into our lives, there's something that changes. And I'm telling you, I'm just going to give testimony to it right now. I can tell you, when Cody Hull made a profession of faith in my office, he sat there and he said, "I really do think something's different, but I want to tell you," he came back the next Wednesday and he met with me and he said, "I am different." And he couldn't put it all into words. He couldn't explain it all. And he began to get a little bit embarrassed because he felt like he couldn't. And I said, "Cody, you don't have to. But you know it's real. And the same thing is true with that joy. That joy, when Jesus Christ is a part of your life, is there. And this side of heaven, you're never going to understand it all. But you know that there's something different. You know that there's something inside of you that no matter what is happening around you, you experience a joy that can't be taken away. And people look at you and they wonder why you're smiling when it doesn't make sense that you're smiling. Why you're going about doing things that seem to make a difference in this world when you shouldn't be able to do that because you should be broken at your circumstances. Those are the type of things that arrive out of the joy that God gives us because we see things differently. But it doesn't happen instantaneously. It's a process. The same way with freedom. God provides freedom. But like with all big changes, there's often an adjustment period of realizing the value of what has been. No matter how bad, no matter how trapped that may have caused us to be, it's a matter of giving something up to embrace something new and different. And even though that new and different thing may be great and it may be freedom, it still doesn't mean that you like it because it's different. And you've been used to something that seemed to fit. As uncomfortable as it was, it fit. And it was a part of who you were. And so changing that is often not something, even though it does happen instantaneously, and that God comes and provides that opportunity. When you let go of that, often there is that temptation that may even come from Satan to veer back in that direction, to go back to that what you know, even though you're in a good place, because the new thing is new and different and uncertain. But through time, through that process, we've come to recognize how beautiful it is. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I said. Because when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that freedom does come instantaneously. That joy becomes available to us instantaneously. That light is immediate. But what I'm saying is that we aren't able to comprehend the fullness of that in our humanity. In that instant way, it's a process of growing that God enables us to understand what's revealed in the light, to really embrace the fullness of that joy that's in our soul, and to experience freedom that's like no other. I want to take just a moment to set on this thought of waiting, because I think it's a real struggle for us. As I said, Scripture we're focusing on today in Isaiah was written approximately 700 years prior to Jesus' birth. And the people were waiting for a long time for the promised Messiah that would change everything. In today's world, we can't really grasp that concept, as I've already said. But here's what we can do. We can feel God's call. And this goes back to, and it kind of came about because of what happened last Sunday. Any of you who were here know that Patrick Clark came and he talked about what it was like to be serving on the mission field in Austria and the things he was doing. And he talked some about that calling here, and we went into small group. He talked even more about that calling. And then in the midst of that, we were challenged to consider our own calling. Well, as we were challenged to consider that, there were people in this congregation, more than one, who took that calling very seriously. And one of them had conversations with me this week. And she called me frustrated. She said, "Greg, I know what God wants me to, and I'm going to be kind of specific. I think she'll be fine with it." It was a real leading that she wanted to be able to help people who were addicted to drugs. And the call was even more specific to that. She wanted to reach out to students in our local schools whose lives had been touched by that. But the frustration came because she was saying, "Greg, I don't have the resources. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the network, I don't have the contacts, but I know in my heart that's just something, and there were specific reasons she was so burdened for that, and I believe that it was a call that God had placed on her. But she just didn't see how she could fulfill it. And the more we talked and the more we prayed, and she even told me she had been praying and some of the things that God had said to her, and one of those things were slow down and wait. And she couldn't figure that out. But one of the things that we have to understand about waiting is not a time of sitting and twiddling our thumbs. It's not a time of just sitting on our hands. Waiting is most often a time of preparation. So as we spent time talking, she came to the conclusion that probably what it needed to happen was continue to have this conversation with God. To recognize that if God had called her for this purpose, God would also reveal the steps that needed to be taken. It wouldn't be something where she would have to guess. It wouldn't be something where she would have to go out and just by her own self-will figure this out. God would be a part of helping that as long as she prayed, as long as she sought God's will and continued in what she was doing. And as we began to talk, she said, "You know, I already have relationships with some of those young people." And she realized it may just mean continuing to get to know those young people and their situation. She already knew of some other programs that were involved in trying to reach out, and she said, "Maybe I don't need to just start a new one. Maybe I can become involved somehow there and become more aware of what needs are." And even in one conversation, she began to recognize that while that wasn't the answer, God still had a plan and purpose. There was a preparation that could happen towards where she was going. I promise you, I said this last week, God has a call on every person in this room. Even if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ in your life yet, God yearns for you to do that. And as you do that, He has a call on your life. As a part of the body of Christ, we aren't called just to become a part of the body and be dead weight. Every part of the body has a function. If you don't believe me, look in the Bible. Every one of us has a purpose. Every one of us has a calling. And as we seek that out, God will guide us. We will find it.
Amen.
And it's a part of how God created the kingdom to be. Now, let's connect this to where we all are today. What are you hoping for this Christmas? I believe we should all be hoping for something. As you embrace this season with hope, I have another question. What are you doing to get ready for Christmas? No doubt we're shopping, planning parties, filling out Christmas cards, cooking, but what are you really doing to get ready for Christmas? Another way of asking this is, how will you prepare your heart for Jesus' arrival? As of today, we have begun the Advent season. It is a time of anticipation of the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior. Will you simply wait for December 25th to get here and just wait? Will you choose to be overwhelmed with the responsibility of getting things done? And did you hear that? I chose those words intentionally. Will you choose to be overwhelmed with the responsibility of getting things done? Because, you know, we can also choose not to be overwhelmed. We can't always choose the situations, but God gives us the ability. We don't have to allow those situations to control us. So I ask you again, will you simply wait? Will you choose to be overwhelmed with the responsibility of getting things done? Or will you allow God to speak to you and shape you during this time of preparation so that you might receive the fullness of the promises and gift offered in the birth of the Christ child? I'm going to ask our musicians to come up. And as they do, I want you to consider for a moment, just like the conversation that I had with the person who called me and they were trying to understand that calling. God is desiring, I don't care what your Christmases have been like in the past, how great and wonderful they've been, how challenging they've been. God has a plan for your Christmas this year that's different than it was before because He wants your relationship with Him to grow. How will God speak to you? How will you become prepared from now until December 25th, such that when December 25th gets here, it's not just another day on the calendar, but it's a true celebration of the most important relationship any of us can have in our life. Will you be open to that preparation? It may be through songs that you'll hear, songs that you'll sing. It may be gifts that you give and receive. It may be finding a quiet time in the midst of the hustle and bustle. It may be surprises that come here and there, but I tell you, God will use this time as preparation if you allow it, if we'll be open to it. Let's stand together and sing Heavenly Sunlight.
Sing all three verses, please.